Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunatu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidavishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. Page 28. People may be surprised that devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj could seek shelter of the sight of the enemy, giving up the natural affinity for family, hearth, and home. In this connection, Bali Maharaj explains that the body, which is the center of all material activities, is also a foreign element. Even though we want to keep the body fit and helpful to our activities, the body cannot continue eternally. Right? So we're the soul, so we're not the body. So even identifying with the body is still a foreign element. So this idea is, no, we want things that are familiar, things that are us, and all that. The body still is not that. Although I am the soul which is eternal, after using the body for some time, I have to accept another body, tata dehantara praptihi, Bhagavad Gita 2.13. According to the laws of nature, unless I render some service with the body for the advancement and devotional service, one should not use the body for any other purpose. One must know that if he uses the body for any other purpose, he is simply wasting time. For as soon as the time is ripe, the soul will automatically leave the body. Right? So, since there's only limited time in the body, using that all for Krishna consciousness, that's a valuable use of time. And if we don't do that, then that's a waste of time. We are very interested in society, friendship, and love. But what are they? Those in the garb of friends and relatives merely plunder the hard-earned money of the bewildered soul. Everyone is affectionate towards his wife and is attached to her. But what is this wife? The wife is called Stri, which means one who expands the material condition. If a person lives without wife, his material conditions are less extensive. As soon as one marries and is connected with a wife, his material necessities increase. Right? So, again, if it's connected to the Lord, it becomes of value. It's not connected to the Lord, it is of no value. Right? The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Right? So that's why this basic principle, the masculine and feminine principle, is to be understood in its proper light in connection with Krishna. So, it's not that the principle changes with Krishna consciousness. Still, man acts in one way, female in another. How they're going to interact, that's going to remain the same. The difference is, instead of using that interaction for sense gratification, one's using the interaction to be engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So things are to be done, plans are to be made, because one of the principles of the husband and wife is they're friends, so they make plans together. So making those plans, you still have to use the same principles. Not we're devotees, so we don't worry about all that anymore. No, the religion of male-female remains the same. So how you word it, how you present it, all these different things, that remains the same. The difference is now one's making plans how to please Krishna. That's what changes, is the consciousness. So that's the meaning of giving up all these religions. So because it's about Krishna, that's then the whole position. That's the most important thing. So it may not change anything, as we've discussed here, or it may change something, that Bali Maharaj surrendering to the Lord means it's not ideal for his position as king of the demons. Right? So it may or may not have an adjustment. But the point is if Krishna is kept as the central point, then all the other religious aspects, they're able to be engaged in his service. Right? That's the whole point. Human life is meant for self-realization, not for increasing unwanted things. Actually, a wife increases unwanted things. One's lifetime, one's home, and everything one has, if not properly used in the service of the Lord, are all sources of material conditions of perpetual suffering under the threefold miseries. Adhyatmika, adibhautika, and adidaivika. Unfortunately, there is no institution in human society for education on this subject. People are kept in darkness about the goal of life, and thus there is a continuous struggle for existence. We speak of survival of the fittest, but no one survives. For no one is free under material conditions, right? Everyone will die, so no one survives. That's the thing, Prabhupada points out. The mortality rate is 100%. You don't have to worry about that. And then man feels himself so intelligent because he figures out a way to kill people quicker. Right? Like that, you know, so that's the fun part. Yes, so all these different things, what we consider so important in material life, then all of these things, if they're not connected to Krishna, they simply entangle one more and more in material life. And they'll all be gone, and then the next life, one's having to start all over again. So all these are just, that's what's unwanted. Unwanted means it's not in connection with the Lord. So, as one sees everything in connection with the Lord, then all these things can be done. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. So unless we see it connected to the Lord, it won't actually give us any benefit. We think it will give us benefit, but it doesn't. Right? So, okay. Yeah. Balimars continued, "My grandfather, the best of all men, who achieved unlimited knowledge and was worshipable for everyone, was afraid of the common men in this world. Being fully convinced of the substantiality afforded by the shelter at Yaloda's feet, he took shelter of Yaloda's feet against the will of his father and demoniac friends, who were killed by your own self. Only by providence have I been forcefully brought under your lotus feet and deprived of all my opulence. Because of the illusion created by temporary opulence, people in general who live under material conditions, facing accidental death at every moment, do not understand that this life is temporary. Only by providence have I been saved from that condition." Right? So it's only by the Lord's grace. So that's the whole point. Is that we don't think, yes, you know, I was so serious, I was, you know, a real seeker, and so I was out looking, and that's why I'm in this position, and that's why I'm advanced in devotional service. That's not actually, it's by Krishna's grace. Right? It's not something else. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 11. Balimars appreciated the actions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although all the members of the demoniac families except Prahlad Maharaj and Balimars considered Vishnu their eternal traditional enemy. Right? A traditional enemy. Right? You know, so depending upon where you're from, you have traditional enemies. So. Like that. Like a, you know, long-standing. As described by Bali Maharaj, Lord Vishnu was actually not the enemy of the family, but the best friend of the family. The principle of this friendship has already been stated, right? That he is keeping their false ego down. That way it's actually easier to become a devotee. But they're not interested in devotional service, so they can't take advantage of the Lord's blessings. Yasyaham anu grinami harishye tad dhanam sanaihi. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8. The Lord bestows special favor upon his devotee by taking away all his material opulences. Bali Maharaj appreciated this behavior by the Lord. Therefore he said, Daivena nita prasabham jajita shrihi. It is to bring me to the right platform of eternal life that you have put me into these circumstances. Right? So he can appreciate and see it for what it actually is. Actually, everyone should fear the so-called society, friendship, and love for which he works so hard all day and night. As indicated by Bali Maharaj, by the words, Janad Bitaha, every devotee in Krishna consciousness should always be afraid of the common man engaged in pursuing material prosperity. Right? Because they're engaged in material prosperity and they're committed to it. So by their association, we could also be infected with that mood, that there's something to gain here. So that's why I said Prahlad Maharaj was worried about the common man. Right? There was a fear there. He didn't fear Krishna in his form as Nrsingadev and how ferocious he feared the common man and his common mentality. So that has to be. So we see is that's not where the identity is. One may function in that environment, but one does not identify. Because where you identify, your identification goes then with the mood, and the mood then goes with your desire, and that goes with your goal. So as soon as you put that I am this body, then you set a whole chain reaction in line. Because if I am this body, that particular way I identify it, that defines my attitude. And then that attitude then is my desires. Then that desire is your goals. Mm-hmm. Understand? Mm-hmm. And then by working for those goals and receiving them, that reinforces one's identity. Okay. So it just keeps going. That's why we change it to, I'm servant of Krishna. I'm not the body. So I don't identify with the particular family, the particular community, society, nation, you know, region, the material world, you know, at all. That way then, if I'm servant to the Lord, that changes my attitude, that changes my desires, that changes my goals. Mm-hmm. You see that?
Yeah, so it's cyclic.
Sorry?
It is cyclic in nature.
It's cyclic, yes. And so if that's understood, it's there. So all this modern kind of mumbo-jumbo that, oh, no, but, you know, we're from here, we're from there, and we have to consider all these things, all that does is just reinforce material life. That's the only thing it does. It doesn't have another benefit. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why that's avoided. That's the first thing to go. Right? You don't take that, no, that's a basis, and because of that basis, then we have a whole, then we can prosper in Krishna consciousness. No, it's because of that, that's why we don't prosper in Krishna consciousness. Right? But we had last class a question, why is it that the demigods, that they're not moving forward in their devotional service? Because they're so much identified with being demigods and the facilities they have, they don't have that desire to come to pure devotional service. Right? So that's why it's avoided. Right? Because otherwise, then yes, not surrendering, not doing that, having this attachment, those are all right because I identify with that position. So where is the determination going to take place? That's Krishna's point, is that the vyavasayatmika buddhi won't happen because one has many desires. As long as there's many desires, how are you going to have one desire? You have one desire to please Krishna, or you have many desires which are not connected with Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? You can have one desire to please Krishna and many ways to fulfill it. That's okay. But as long as there's that material identity and then all those that go along with it, those are always going to be stumbling blocks on devotional service. That's just the way, that's the mechanics of how it works. Yes.
But still, Krishna addresses Arjuna as Bharata, which belongs to this land of Bharata. It's like identification is,
So are you going to identify with Bharata?
No, I mean just honest.
Okay, so that means you're going to identify with where?
No, I just mentioned.
No, but I'm saying. So where will you identify with?
With my body.
Okay, and then that means that which community?
Yeah.
Okay, and does that mean that you have friends over and you drink, something made out of potatoes that sat around a little too long in little crystal glasses, and then after you do that, then you turn around and throw them in the fireplace? You know what I'm saying? So what's the point of identifying like that?
But then I'm asking why no Krishna?
Yeah, and Bharata, and what's the glory of Bharata? Even if we're going to pick something, thou Bharata means... Who is Bharata named after? He's descendant of Bharat. Bharat Maharaj. He's in the Bhagavatam as one of the great Paramahamsas. So therefore, if you're identified as a descendant of Bharata, he's not talking about the land, he's talking about the person. You know, because Karna is also a person of this land of Bharata. In fact, he was the king of Anga. And Anga is here, Bengal. So actually, in in the Mahabharata, then Karna is the Bengali, like that. You know, yeah. So therefore, does that make sense? So he's talking about his being connected with that great personality, like Prahlad Maharaj. Babali Maharaj is connected with Prahlad Maharaj, right? So that great devotional position. Does that make sense? Checking out your bag there. Does that make sense? So that you have to see is that the connection is being made there. Krishna will never, it's not about that, he never sees this land is your land, this land is my land. He doesn't do that one. Okay? Like that. So that's the whole point, is we may say, no, but there's all these things because I want to identify with it. I like the facilities that it affords. I like that. But that's all right. That's the conditioning. You engage that in Krishna's service. But if you identify with it, then you'll only be holding yourself back. See, there's a difference between being under the modes and engaging the modes. They're like, how you say? What's his name? Badri Narayan Maharaj would say, there's light years of difference between the two. there's no comparison. So when we start with I am this body, so therefore I have to consider that, then you're working under the modes. And if it's I'm servant of Krishna, and what do I have to work with? I have this particular conditioning. Then you're working with the modes. So as soon as there's an identification with it, you've already lost. Maya's already won, just with, oh, we're Westerners. She's already won. As Prabhupada says, you have an equation, and you do all the points on the equation right, but one part of the equation is wrong. The whole thing's wrong. So you start with, we're Westerners. You've already lost. You're already in Maya. It's that simple. What to do?
How do you reconcile this? That on one hand,
that means I don't have a problem reconciling. For you, then we'll make the effort. Okay. It's not that what you're going. It's not that what you're going to present. Then that's the absolute truth. And then okay, we have this alternative view.
So how is it reconciled that on one hand we can't think that because I'm such a ardent searcher of truth, that's why I am advanced in Krishna consciousness. So that's one.
But that means this: I am the doer. That's the problem with that one. Okay. And so then, what's your alternative?
Well, on the other side, the demigods don't.
They think I am the doer.
They also think that.
Yeah, Indra thinks I'm the Lord of Heaven. That's why he sits there and everyone's praising him. And Brihaspati walks in and he doesn't even notice he walks in. If Urvasi had walked in, would he have noticed? Yeah. So then, because one gets into that mood of sense gratification. So that's why one has to be very, very careful about these kind of identities, because even if we say no, I was searching after the truth, then we'll take that as something special and all that. But still, it's a neophyte position, because the Madhyama, I want to serve the Lord. The neophyte is I want to know about the Lord, right? And if it's just there's an interest in the Lord, that's a jigyasu. I want to know the Lord, then that's a jnani. So everybody's recommended to come to the principle of a jnani before moving on to Madhyama. But otherwise, you can move on anyway, because so we have to always be very, very careful about these identities we had before, because then it's I'm an intelligent person, I'm a dynamic person, I'm a go-getter, I'm like that, so therefore I went for Krishna consciousness, I got Krishna consciousness. Now, where does Krishna in the whole thing? Where is Krishna's mercy? in a sense. So that's the weakness in there. Since it's about a relationship between the living entity and the Lord, then why even take that position? Because if we say, no, but I used my intelligence, whose intelligence is it? It's not ours, it's Krishna's. So other than us, the soul, then everything belongs to Krishna. And then if you actually look at it, we also belong to Krishna. That Kustuba gem, that's all living entities. All the jivas.
But where is that factor which, you know, the soul...
It's desire.
The desire.
But because we have that desire, Krishna being pleased, then he gives his mercy. But if we're saying no, because my desire, that's why it happened, we're leaving Krishna out of it. So it's atheistic. It's an atheistic position. You know, or at minimum, just one of great pride. You know, other devotees, yes, because I remember talking to one devotee one day and saying about, you know, so many devotees and had discussions with them, they joined because of the halava. Right? You know, it's just like, it was something that they had never, you know, just food and that, just the whole spiritual experience from eating halava. And then this one person said, no, I wasn't like that. You know, I was a searcher. I was, so much pride. Because it says chanting, dancing, and taking prasadam. It didn't mention what that other person was into.
Is he still around?
Oh, yeah. They're not about not to be around. Okay. Where are we now? Actually? Actually, everyone should fear the so-called society, friendship and love for which he works so hard all day, as indicated by Bali Maharaj by the words, Jana Bitaha. Every devotee in Krishna consciousness should always be afraid of the common man engaged in pursuing material prosperity. Such a person is described as Pramata, a madman chasing the will of the wisp. Such men do not know that after a hard struggle for life, one must change his body, with no certainty for what kind of body he will receive next. Those who are completely established in Krishna conscious philosophy, and who therefore understand the aim of life, will never take to the activities of the materialistic dog race. But if a sincere devotee somehow does fall down, the Lord corrects him and saves him from gliding down to the darkest region of hellish life. Andanta gobir vishatam tamisram puna punas charvita charvananam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:30. The materialistic way of life is nothing but the repeated chewing of what has already been chewed, although there is no profit in such a life. People are enamored of it because of uncontrolled senses. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:5:4. Because of uncontrolled senses, people fully engage in sinful activities, by which they get a body full of suffering. Bali Maharaj appreciated how the Lord had saved him from such a bewildered life of ignorance. He therefore said that his intelligence had been stunned. Stabda matir na budyate. He could not understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead favors his devotees by forcibly stopping their materialistic activities. Right, so that's a common thing. He's pointing out he couldn't understand. So that's one of our common mistakes. It's when things don't go right, how can Krishna allow this to happen? When actually, why is it happening? Because it brings about Krishna consciousness. Right, because that's the whole point. Because if you're Krishna conscious, yes, you can engage everything, but it's about Krishna. If it's about the thing, how can this go away? But then it's about the thing going away. So that's the problem. Right? When it's not about the thing, it's about the devotional service, then you can have things and it's not a problem. But as long as we're worried about the thing itself, that's when these things happen. Is that? Verses 12 to 23. Prayers by Prahlad Maharaj, Vindyavali, and Lord Brahma. Sukadev Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, while Bali Maharaj was describing his fortunate position in this way, The most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there, like the moon rising in the nighttime. Then Bali Maharaj saw his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, the most fortunate personality, whose dark body resembled black ointment for the eyes. His tall, elegant feature was dressed in yellow garments. He had long arms, and his beautiful eyes were like the petals of a lotus. He was very dear and pleasing to everyone. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears and his face lowered in shame. Footnote 9. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes to verse 14, he was ashamed of being seen by Prahlad, since it would seem that he must have committed some offense in order to be bound up. Or he was shamed at seeing Prahlad, since he suddenly forgot his constant teachings about not showing pride on the occasion of giving land. His head was lowered because of shame. So in either way, then. When the great personality, Paladmar, saw that the Supreme Lord was sitting there, surrounded and worshipped by his intimate associates like Sunanda, he was overwhelmed with tears of jubilation. Approaching the Lord and falling to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord with his head. Because many times he sees the Lord comes in these situations, he comes with the demigods as his associates, who are his associates on one level, because he always comes as the Manvantara Avatara. And so Indra and the other prominent demigods and that will be with them. So then they'll perform things together. But we see in this case, he came actually with his eternal servants from the spiritual realm. So it's actually a more wonderful situation that Vamanadeva came in. Approaching the Lord and falling to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord with his head. Prahlad Maharaj said, my Lord, it is your Lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of heavenly king. And now, today, it is you who have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because his exalted position as King of Heaven was putting him in the darkest of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence. Right? He was rewarded because he had followed very strictly with faith the order of Guru. Right? And then, because he became proud and all that, and therefore was forgetting his position as Krishna conscious, therefore Krishna took everything away, and that was his, then Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out, that's his special mercy again. You have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. Prahlad Maharaj said, you have no fault in taking back what you have given. You are like a father who, out of affection for his child, snatched from the child a sweet he has given him, understanding it will be unhealthy for him. So, again. Srila Prabhupada elaborates, the words ko vichashte gatim atmano yata indicate that when one is puffed up by the false prestige of possessing material opulence, he certainly neglects the goal of self-realization. This is the position of the modern world. Because of so-called scientific improvements in material opulence, people have entirely given up the path of self-realization. Practically, no one is interested in God, one's relationship with God, or how one should act. Modern men have altogether forgotten such questions because they are mad for material possessions. If this kind of civilization continues, the time will soon come when the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take away all the material opulences. Then people will come to their senses. So that's the position. Everything goes on, they become mad after that. Everything's taken away, they look at things in a more clear light and all that. So that's the... that clarity, that's the Lord's mercy. But then what one does with that clarity, you use it in the Lord's service, then you move forward. You don't, you just use it to reposition yourself on the material platform, then what's the point? Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King Parikit, Lord Brahma then began to speak to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within the hearing of Prahlad Maharaj, who stood nearby with folded hands. But Bali Maharaj's chaste wife, afraid and aggrieved at seeing her husband arrested, immediately offered obeisances to Lord Vamanadev, Upendra. She folded her hands and spoke as follows. Footnote 10. Srila Prabhupada writes to verse 19, although Lord Brahma was speaking, he had to stop for a while because Bali Maharaj's wife, Vindhyavali, who was very agitated and afraid, wanted to say something. Right, so that's also in the principle of etiquette. He's Brahma, the Lord of the universe, but some lady wants to speak because of the emotions and attachments that are there, the feminine nature. Right, it's not due to false ego or other things. That, then, no, Brahma speaks. But here, because of that, then that's that he stops, and then that's that speaking goes on, and then when that finishes, then he'll continue. The footnote and that pointer are exactly the same. This and this are the same. Okay. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on the same verse. Just as Brahma was about to speak, Bali Maharaj's wife spoke. She remained silent out of respect. He remained silent out of respect for her. She began speaking at this point, seeing her husband bound. She was frightened of the offense he had committed. She lowered her head out of natural shyness of a woman. Srimati Vindhyavali said, "O my Lord, you have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes, but foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly they are shameless agnostics," right? So they may accept his position, but they take it as for themselves. He's created the whole universe so that we have something to offer back to him. Otherwise, what are we going to offer? Right? So the whole point, like in, the jiva sitting in Vermont is not offering a whole lot to the Lord. So he's created the material world so that there's something that we can offer to the Lord. But the unintelligent, then they claim this is mine and it's for my enjoyment. Right? So she's pointing out then, you know, this has been the position of her husband. Falsely claiming proprietorship, they think they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe? Right? Because you had the aspect of that, what is he being punished for the pride of thinking he could give in charity, right? Because he wasn't able to complete, right? But the principle of why he did was out of devotion to the Lord, right? So he's saying, no, I said that I should give this and that, and so that must be given. So from that aspect, then he's saying that will be done. But then that's where the problem comes up, because he couldn't finish, right? Does that make sense? But on the side, because of his devotion, and that's why he's doing, therefore giving up his position, his attachment to his bodily situation, his community, and everything like that, that's what's glorified. Right? So that's what he said. He was worried about the shame of being proud about, yes, I can give charity to this person. Right. Okay, did we read that? In such a condition, what good can they do for you, who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe? Srila Prabhupada comments. Bali Maharaj's wife, who was most intelligent, supported the arrest of her husband and accused him of having no intelligence because he had claimed proprietorship of the property of the Lord. Such a claim is a sign of demoniac life. Although the demigods, who are officials appointed by the Lord for management, are attached to materialistic enjoyment, they never claim to be the proprietors of the universe, for they know that the actual proprietor of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So, therefore, they're nicely situated, but there is the mixed devotional service, that they want to enjoy that position, but they see that the position is Krishna's, it's never theirs. This is the qualification of the demigods. But the demons, instead of accepting the exclusive proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, claim the property of the universe for themselves through demarcations of nationalism. This part is mine, and that part is yours, they say. This part I can give in charity, and this part I can keep for my enjoyment. These are all demoniac conceptions. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 16:13. Idam adya maya labdham. Imam prapshye manoratham. Thus far I have acquired so much money and land. Now I have to add more and more. In this way I shall be the greatest proprietor of everything. Who can compete with me? These are all demoniac conceptions. But because why are they considered demoniac? Because they're not connected to the Lord. That's what makes them in this way. But then, like the demigods, they see it in relationship to the Lord, but they maintain their attachment. But they know it's all the Lord's. So they're dependent upon the Lord for that happiness, but they want the material happiness, right? Instead of just going for the Lord's pleasure and then spiritual happiness. So this is a lower position. So these are what we mean by anartas. Right? So in the beginning stage, they may be down on this level. And then as we go, then the demigods, those anartas also have to be given up. Right? So we see it separate from the Lord. That has to go. We see it connected to the Lord, but still we want the benefit. Then eventually that has to go also. But being connected to the Lord, that's how we're going to progress. We're going to get purified because we connect it to the Lord. That's how it's going to work. Balimarj's wife accused Balimarj by saying that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead had arrested him, showing him extraordinary mercy, and although Balimarj was offering his body to the Supreme Lord for the Lord's third step, he was still in the darkness of ignorance. Actually, the body did not belong to him, but because of his long-standing demoniac mentality, he could not understand this. He thought that since he had been defamed for his inability to fulfill his promise of charity, and since the body belonged to him, he would free himself from defamation by offering his body. Actually, however, the body does not belong to anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whom the body is given. Right? So as we mentioned before, is that he still has something to give because the owner of the possession is still separate from the possession itself. So he was controlling the universe. Brahmanadev took that, so he still had himself to offer. But now she's taking it a step further, is that actually even the body belongs to the Lord. So you're still making the same mistake that you think, I have all this to give in charity. So even though it's his body, you're still thinking, I am still able to be charitable. Right. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddesher junatishtati brahmayam sarva bhutani yantara rudhani mayaya. The Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, and according to the material desires of the living entity, the Lord offers a particular type of machine, the body, through the agency of the material energy. The body actually does not belong to the living entity. It belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Under the circumstances, how could Balimarj claim that the body belonged to him? Right. So he's offering the body so that his promise to give in charity is kept intact, right? As Kshatriyas, then they have that mentality. And then in here, he's making the mentality based the mistake that the body belongs to him, right? From that demoniac association that's being mentioned here. Thus, Vindhyavali, Balimarsh's intelligent wife, prayed that her husband be released by the Lord's causeless mercy. Otherwise, Balimarj was nothing but a shameless demon, specifically described as Chakta Hriyas Tad Avaroptita Kartri Vada, a foolish person claiming proprietorship over the property of the Supreme Person. In the present age, Kali Yuga, the number of such shameless men or agnostics disbelieving in the existence of God has increased. Trying to defy the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so-called scientists, philosophers, and politicians manufacture plans and schemes for the destruction of the world. They cannot do anything good for the world, and unfortunately, because of Kali Yuga, they have plunged the affairs of the world into mismanagement. Thus, there is a great need for the Krishna conscious movement for the Krishna conscious movement for the benefit of innocent people who are being carried away by the propaganda of such demons. The present status quo is allowed to continue. People will certainly suffer more and more under the leadership of these demoniac agnostics because they're separating God from the situation. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole principle, is that it's God's authority that has to be followed. It's his laws, so you have to follow the laws properly. You can't make up how you deal with these laws. Claim that it's mine, therefore because it's mine, I can do what I like. If I say, I'm not this body, then what does that mean? It means I'm not the body, but the body's mine. I can do with it as I like. If I say I'm not this body, so if I'm not the body, then who does the body belong to? It belongs to Krishna. So how does Krishna want this body dealt with? That's then defined in scripture. But we don't see that's the end game of this statement, we're not the body. Right? The end game is no, the body, I'm not the body, but being my body, I can do with it as I like. Because being the soul, I'm transcendental, therefore I can do what I like. So we can see here there's no philosophy other than the words, I'm not this body. You know, does that make sense? But, you know, I mean, even the karma can say, well, you're not your house or your car. You know, so it's not that big of a point. So the position is actually not spiritual, as pointed out here by Bali Marsh's wife. Right? So we have to be very, very careful. Yes.
I just wonder what could he have offered, like, you know, the third step.
Well, the thing is that he's gone through this process with the step. That's already a consideration, right? Because he could have gone with the thing is you're the supreme, everything belongs to you. How can I actually give you anything? It's all yours anyway. So you know you've come on behalf of the demons to like that. You please you know take you know like that and just say it's unable. But he was thinking the Lord is offered and he's come in this form, so he's reciprocating in that way, which he saw before. He's the supreme Lord, but he's come as, and owns everything, but he's come as the beggar to beg from me. So then there's that kind of playfulness there. So that pastime goes on in that way. So we're looking at it from different angles to get different benefits for ourselves. Bali Maharaj is a pure devotee, so he gets benefit from any angle. It's not that he's less due to whatever position we may be taking. But what's happening here is that we're getting the benefit of thinking, oh, my house is mine, my facilities are mine, and everything's mine. So therefore, I have that to use in the Lord's service. Right? It's a matter of, no, it belongs to Krishna. That's why it's being offered to Krishna. Means it's a lower stage that it's mine, I give it to Krishna. That's renunciation. Sannyasis, it's Krishna's, and I offer it to Krishna. So what we're trying to do is here is, the principle of renunciation is good, but we're trying to come to that position of sannyas, where whatever I'm doing is already Krishna. See, so in other words, Bali Maharaj was working on the principle of renunciation, but Bali Maharaj's wife is working on the principle of sannyas. It already is the Lord's. So that's what we're bringing out here, is this higher level of consciousness. In other words, there's always that further that we can go. Because until we get to prema, there is always a step further. Is that?
Is that a way to purify that? Was just to engage?
You engage it in the Lord's service until such time as we start to see the higher principle. It doesn't change the service we're doing necessarily. But it does, but the mentality, that's what changes. Because Krishna consciousness, it's a matter of change in consciousness. It's not a matter of change in activity. Right? You can change the activity, but if you don't change the consciousness, then it's, what's the purpose of change? Does that make sense? Someone is not a vegetarian, they become a vegetarian. Okay, that's more pious, but still it's material. So unless the consideration is, well, you know, Krishna says you should offer him things that are vegetarian, so therefore I'll become a vegetarian, then it's a consideration of Krishna. Then it has a benefit. But otherwise, it's just going back and forth between piety and impiety. So, okay. Oh. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that after Prahlad and Vindhyavali pleased the Lord by spiritual statements, the next three verses, 21 to 23, Brahma pleased the Lord by practical considerations. Lord Brahma said, O well-wisher and master of all living entities, O worshipable deity of all the demigods, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, now this man has been sufficiently punished, for you have taken everything. Now you can release him. He does not deserve to be punished more. Bali Maharaj had already offered everything to your lordship. Without hesitation, he has offered his land, the planets, and whatever else he earned by pious activities, including even his own body. by offering even water, newly grown grass, or flower buds at your lotus feet, those who maintain no mental duplicity can achieve the most exalted position within the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. Yes?
What's this mental duplicity?
Mental duplicity, where you're rendering service on one side and maintaining your own desires on the other.
That's Mishra Bhakti.
Yes. So he's just saying is that even the simplest offering, just here the, you know, flour, water, some grass, like this, just that being offered to Krishna, that can please Krishna. So, but it's the purity of that surrender in heart, it's not what's being offered. So now he has that purity and he's offered the whole universe and himself. So even more, it should be considered.
But in a sense, we see his example, we can say for sure for us it might take like millions of lifetimes to get to that position.
That's why we start with the leaf, flower, and water.
But
yeah, you know.
He had a lot, but his mental state, what they're all accusing him of. That he had, like his wife, she said, that even though he offered so, I mean, outside it looked like pure devotion, but she said, no, he was proud, he was this, he was that.
No, because that's what was outside. Inside was the devotion.
And we outside and inside.
Yes, we have more of a problem. So that we work on that, that's all. So the ideas we see here is that this is how it does. So even if we do something very nice, we still have to be careful that our mentality is right. So that's the whole point. Doing all your works and everything for Krishna, that's what we're doing. But at the same time, see that also the mental condition is also in that way. It's also favorable. So both have to be there. So. This Balimars without duplicity has now offered everything in the three worlds. How then can he deserve to suffer from arrest? Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 23. In Bhagavad Gita 9:26 it is stated, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taraham bhaktyupahritam asnami pratyatat manaha. The Supreme Personality of God is so kind that if an unsophisticated person with devotion and without duplicity offers at the lotus feet of the Lord a little water, a flower, a fruit, or a leaf, the Lord accepts it. Means either you don't have anything, so that's also unsophisticated. So the point is, sophisticated means you have facility. So this idea where the sophisticated and intellectual says, no, this is all we have to do, see, we don't have to do anything for Krishna, we just within our mind, then fine. Just accept that you're unsophisticated. That's all. Just say that out loud, make it known. Okay. Then the devotee is promoted to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Brahma drew the Lord's attention to this subject and requested that he release Balimarsh, who was suffering, being bound by the ropes of Varuna, who had already given everything, including the three worlds of whatever he possessed. Because right? Also there's the dangers, why the ropes of Varuna. One can't get out of them, and two, they're actually dangerous. You can only be tied up in them a certain amount of time, otherwise you'll die. So that's why also then, you know, time is a factor here. Verse 24-36. The Lord gives benedictions to Balimars. The Supreme Personality of God had said, My dear Lord Brahma, because of material opulence, a foolish person becomes dull-witted and mad. Thus, he has no respect for anyone within the three worlds. So that also then points out why particular ads go by the wayside, right? Because they become proud of their opulence that comes from that, and then in their madness going in that way, they become dull-witted. And then it no longer works. Does that make sense? So that's why then madmen never continue for very long in that particular field. Yeah? No? Thus he has no respect for anyone within the three worlds and defies even my authority. To such a person I show special favor by first taking away all his possessions. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on verse 24 in Priti Sandarbha, Anuchedas 47 and 127. Out of kindness for his devotee, the Supreme Lord removes from them everything that has no relation to him, means in relation to Krishna. In other words, what's being taken away generally means it doesn't have relation to Krishna. Right? We're not connecting it. That's also why it affects us. Well, if it's connected to Krishna, if it was taken away or not, it wouldn't affect us, so there's no need to take it away. The Lord throws these things far away. Sometimes the Lord personally acts to create humbleness in his devotee. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that how the Lord says, I am not merciful to all jivas by taking away their wealth. I do not take from some and give abundantly to others. Since my mercy is hard for people to understand and of various types, hear about the characteristics of my mercy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, right? So he's saying, because it's difficult to understand, now he'll explain his mercy, right? So Vishwanath's making a sanghati here, a connection between the previous statements and then now, right? So that we appreciate what's being said. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, while rotating in the cycle of birth and death, again and again in different species, because of his own fruit of activities, the dependent living entity, by good fortune, may happen to become a human being. This human birth is very rarely obtained. Srila Prabhupada comments, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully independent. Thus, it is not always a fact that a living being's loss of all opulence is a sign of the Supreme Lord's mercy upon him, right? Because you may be, just according to your karma, you've stopped doing pious activities, so by the laws of nature, you lose everything. So it's not that everybody who's losing things, that's Krishna's mercy. And everybody who has things, that it's not Krishna's mercy. Right? The Lord can act any way he likes. He may take away one's opulence, or he may not. There are varieties of forms of life, and the Lord treats them according to the circumstances as he chooses. Generally, it is to be understood that the human form of life is one of great responsibility. Therefore, every human being, especially one belonging to a civilized nation or culture, must be extremely responsible in his activities. He should not risk degradation in the next life, because the body will change. Tata dehantara praptir. He should be extremely careful, right? Because we're going now, we have a human form, we're going ahead like that, but the point is so easily we can lose the whole thing. We should to see to the proper use of life is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. The foolish living entity declares freedom from all control, but factually he is not free. He is fully under the control of material nature. He must therefore be most careful and responsible in his activities in his life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, the human being is born in an aristocratic family or higher status of life. If he performs wonderful activities, if he is youthful, if he has personal beauty, a good education, and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So all these things are points of piety. All these things are also point of pride. So if one has these and is proud, then that's understood that he doesn't have the Lord's mercy. Right? Because that's just normally what happens. Or from pride he loses all these things. That's also not necessarily, right? So the whole point comes down to is that if he has all those opulences and he's not proud, that's actually the next stage, right? Because Krishna takes everything away from someone because of their pride and everything. But now if they come to the point of devotional service where they see everything related to the Lord, then he can give them everything. Right? Like Yudhishthira Maharaj, like Sudama Vipra, and like Bali Maharaj. It doesn't affect their position.
There's one thing that I don't really understand is that Krishna being the supreme powerful, he could just give that quality.
But give the quality, then what do you have to do with it? So what do you have to do with this whole thing? You could just float around in Brahman and Krishna will create all kinds of, you know, things that do everything he wants and Hari Bol. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because it's like working from externals, like removing that which is obstacle in the consciousness, which is inside. And then
no, but the point is you as a living entity are making a choice to serve the Supreme Lord.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. So that's the one thing that counts.
Yeah, because the point is okay, then, you know, why doesn't he give all these good qualities, then I'll be good, but who's being bad?
Who's being bad?
Who's being bad?
Yeah.
Right? It means, as we know, Krishna, all the stars and everything were in all the proper places, right?
Yes.
So he was not born under a bad sign. Right?
He was not even born.
So who was?
Yeah. He wasn't born.
That's another point, yes. But still, at the point of his appearance, when he, like that, for the pastime, it's all auspicious. You know what I'm saying? So we're the one that had... Why are we in that? Because of our choices. So it's our choices were good, where choices were bad. But we want to make it, oh, God will just make us good, but I'll just go on being bad. So at what point are you going to make an effort? You know what I'm saying? Because even if he does make you good, are you going to use that in Krishna's service?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, of course. However much you want to get, I'll use it all. I was thinking, you know, the north boundary of the Mayapur project, everything between there and Yogkeet. Yeah, okay.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Chaitanya Tagore, Premananda.